Afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode 10 of the Rooney Rundown. My name is John Rooney, your host. I've missed you guys. I'm sure you've missed me. It's been a while since I've released an episode. I just figured it was about time. And, you know, it's funny. We're getting to the slow part of the sports season. So, probably not the right time to do it. But, you know, I had a little motivation. Some people making fun of me. Shout out to Ernie DiBiase. Likes to talk some junk about the Rooney Rundown. He only wishes he was on it, though. But you'll never be, because your sports opinions are poop. So, only experts on this show. Anyway, what are we going to talk about? We'll talk a little bit of everything, I think. You know, obviously, we're going to start with the Phillies. They just lost 2 of 3 to the Diamondbacks. And they lost their grip on first place to the Atlanta Braves. And it doesn't shock me. I saw the Braves coming. The Phillies have had a lot of injuries. Odubel beat his girlfriend, which was actually a blessing in disguise to get him out of there. Hope he goes to jail or never plays baseball again, because he stinks anyway. But anyway, the Braves did take first. And you know what? The Braves are the better team. Their pitching stinks, but they do have a couple nice starters, including Soroka, young guy. He looks really good. Couple of nice young players. They're not even prospects anymore. You know, Acuña is going to be one of the best players in baseball. He might not be right there yet, but I fully expect him to be a top 5 player in the game within the next 2 or 3 years. Albies is really good. Freddie Freeman's still an all-star. You know, they have a lot of players, a lot of good players. So the Phillies did lose their grip on first. Again, they've lost McCutchen. McCutchen's gone. Who else have they lost? Why am I drawing a blank? Well, anyway, of course they lost Odubel. But anyway, Kingery has stepped up. He's played really well lately. He's kind of shown what we thought he would be when they gave him a contract before he even had to prove himself. You know, they skipped all the arbitration and all that crap. They just gave him a deal. And he took it just to get some money in his pocket. But anyway, he has been really good. It's nice to see. I kind of always felt like he would be good. You know, even last year when he stunk, he was really bad. You know, part of me still felt like he could be good. I mean, he plays really hard. And, you know, he doesn't have to hit 30 home runs. He's never going to be that kind of guy. But I do think he can hit 285, 290 and hit 15 to 20 home runs and play a solid. You know, finding a position for him is the tough part right now, because he's just got to play wherever he's needed. But I think he's good at that. So anyway, we lost McCutchen. That was a blow. He was really starting to come on strong, too. He was hitting up in the high 260s, maybe even 270 when he got hurt. A lot of people blame Gene Segura. I don't know. That's ticky-tack to me. I mean, guys don't hustle out plays all the time. It's not a big deal. I'm not the hustle police, you know. Although I will say this. There was a lot of talk in the offseason about us signing either Harper or Machado. Thank God we got Harper. But Machado, there was some talk like, well, he doesn't hustle, you know. It won't fit well in Philly. And I do think to some extent it wouldn't have fit well. And there was a play a few weeks ago. He was playing in Toronto with the Padres, and he hit a tapper to second. He didn't run it out worth a damn. And that second baseman bobbled it about 3 times. And he was still out by 10 feet. And that was like, wow, man, you're a lazy, you know, piece of shit. Excuse my language, but he really is. I mean, that was awful. So that would not have fit well in Philadelphia. I can assure you of that. Philly fans would have been pissed off big time. So it's better off we probably don't have him. He's actually having a crap year too. He's really not hitting the ball well. Not that our big signee is. Harper is not hitting well. I don't have the stats off the top of my head. I want to say he's got about 11 or 12 homers. RBI numbers are in the mid to late 30s. Last I checked, he was above 250. He was hitting like 255. The on base was around 365, 370. Slugging maybe 480. I'm sorry, man. That's just not good enough. I said from the get-go, I need to see at least 265. Because that'll put, if he hits 265, 270, his on base is going to be 400 or 390. And then it's really worth it. And, it, you know, he's just not connecting on fastballs. Like, they showed the stat where, you know, even last year when he had a down year, he still hit 34 homers and 100 RBIs. You know, and he only hit 245, you know. But he came on strong. I mean, he started really slow and came on strong. So, yes, this year he has not hit well, but the effect he has on the lineup is felt all the way through it, 1 through 9. I mean, they're not going to pitch to him the way they would other guys, and they're not going to, you know, yesterday he wasn't in the lineup and we didn't score any runs, and I don't think that's a coincidence. I think that's, you know, just a direct correlation with him not being in the lineup. You know, he changes the way the whole team is pitched. Rhys Hoskins is having an all-star type season. You know, there's a few guys on the Phillies having all-star seasons. I think you could make a case for Bryce. I'd have to look at the whole outfield in the NL. You know, you got Yelich, you got Bellinger. You know, those guys are beasts right now. Oh my God. You know, they're in Trout world, where only Trout resides. And Trout resides there permanently. He's, you know, he bought a house in Trout World. But those other guys are visiting for right now, and they may stay there for a while. Both are killing it. Josh Bell, can't forget about him. He's not an outfielder, of course, but he's another NL titan. So it's nice to see. I like to see big numbers, guys kill it. And I really like Yelich and Bellinger. You know, I thought both of them could be really good. Yelich had been an all-star previous to last year's MVP year, but, you know, he was like an 18-homer, 70 RBI guy before that. But he's expanded his game, takes a big leg kick now, makes contact. And he's playing, not playing in Marlins Stadium anymore, whatever the hell it's called. Anyway, I do think you can make a case for Harper being an all-star. I do think JT Realmuto is an easy pick for an all-star. I think he's having a really good year. He's the best catcher in baseball. I don't really think it's a question. When you add up his offense and his defense, he's the best catcher in baseball. And he's such a leader, man. He's changed the team, too. What a trade that was to get to unload a guy like, I don't even remember his name now. Who was the catcher? He couldn't catch for shit, though. That really bothered me. He had a cannon like I'd never seen, but I don't even remember his name. Alfaro. That's his name. Jorge Alfaro. And, you know, he could hit a little bit, too, but he's going to swing at everything, and he's going to hit 245, 250. His on base is going to be 275, and he's going to hit 25 homers. But that's not good enough. You know, Realmuto's going to hit you 270. He's only going to have a 330 on base, but he'll hit 20, 25 homers, drive in 75 to 90. And he'll play Gold Glove caliber defense. So, you really can't pass that up. You know what I mean? So, addition to Realmuto, Harper, McCutchen, I think, was on pace. Of course, not now. I think Rhys has to be considered. I think he should be. You know, Rhys is on pace for a 35 and 100 season, roughly. He's still hitting 270 the last I checked. That was a few days ago, I believe. Trying to think who else. Oh, Segura has been all-star like. Kingery has missed 30 games, so it's kind of hard to put him in that category. But he you know, he's playing to that level. Even Aaron Nola, although his ERA is in the mid fours and his WHIP is like 1.45, which is not great. Aaron Nola still got 6 wins, 6-1. You know, I mean, it's pretty good. He can get to 8 or 9 wins by the break. You know, he's only got a month left, though. So, that might be tough. But, you know, get to 8 wins. You know, we'll see. He's just not been as dominant, not been as sharp. But you could argue him for an all-star. Kapler got up on the podium the other day and said Naris should be an all-star. I don't know what weed Gabe is smoking these days, but I don't think so, buddy. I don't know what baseball games he's watching, because every time I see Naris pitch, I feel like he's giving up a homer on a hanging splitter or something. And his splitter's nasty, but when he hangs it, it gets rocked. So, you know, needless to say, though, the Phillies have been solid. You can't really complain too much. I, you know, of course I have individual complaints. I hate Jake Arrieta. you know, he's getting big money during the year. And I'm not a guy that complains about contracts. You know, it's not my money, it's the team's money. And in baseball, you can pay as much as you want. Like, there is no cap. It's not going to hamper you to pay somebody. That's why the people that were against Bryce Harper, because, well, he's not worth $300 million. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. You don't know baseball. You don't know the economics of sports. You should just shut your mouth next time. Because there is no cap, all right? It's not going to hamper you to pay a guy $300 million. You know what I'm saying? The only thing it does is it just, if typically at the end of those big contracts, they're just not worth it anymore. Like Pujols, he hasn't been worth it since the day he signed as a 31-year-old. I believe he was 31, 32 when he signed a 10-year deal with the Angels. And he hasn't been worth it any year that he's been there. So, you know, it's not like it's hamstringing them financially. They could go, you know, they just gave Trout $430 million. But what it does is it's just not worth it. So you're paying a guy $25, $30 million and he stinks. And that may be the case. I mean, even with Harper right now, to pay him $26, $27 million a year, right now, even though his numbers, you know, he might be on pace for, I don't know, maybe like 30 homers, 80 RBIs, something terrible. But, you know, right now, it is worth it. Sorry about that. We got cut off on that last segment there. We were talking about Bryce Harper's contract and if it's worth it. It is worth it. It sucks that he's not putting up the numbers we kind of thought he would. But I still think he will. I still have confidence in him. He's still young. He's got to settle in a little bit. You know, he's just not hitting fastballs well. And I do think eventually he will. He's too talented. Excuse me. I'm pretty happy with the Phils, I gotta admit. You know, I just think I would have liked Keuchel or Kimbrel. I was on board with either of them. You know, I kind of thought maybe Kimbrel more, because we really don't have a closer, and now Sir Anthony's out. That's the other injury I kept thinking of. That's a big blow. He hadn't really been good this year, but still, I mean, that guy was the future of our pen, is the future, and he's likely out for the next year. You know, we might get him back second half of next year. So that sucks. That's a big blow. But again, they're still on the hunt. You know, I do feel like they're probably going to have to win the division to get into the playoffs. You know, maybe a second wild card is possible. I'd have to look at the numbers and the standings. But right now, they're not even close to the Dodgers or Cubs. I mean, to me, those are the two teams head and shoulders above everybody. You know, the Brewers are really good. Cardinals, not so much. The Braves, again, they're solid. I'm trying to think in the West. The Padres actually aren't too bad. And the Diamondbacks can really hit the ball, man. Man, Escobar and Marte, those guys, they freaking rake. My God. I got both of them on my fantasy team, and they're killing it. By the way, I'm dominating this week so far. Shout out to Rob getting that ass whooped. Anyway, so we'll move on. The NBA Finals is going on. Game 6 is tonight, actually, at 9 o'clock. It's in Oakland at Oracle. Last game at Oracle. That's a big deal. You know, it's been one of the loudest arenas in the league for a long time. And it's not even just these past 5 years that the Warriors have been good. Oracle's been loud forever. If you remember the 8-seed team that beat the number 1-seeded Mavericks when Nowitzki was MVP that year, you know, they dominated that series. I mean, it was a 6-game series, but Oracle was rocking. That team was exciting. They dunked on you, Jason Richardson, Baron Davis. Was AK-47 on that, Karolinko? I don't know if he was on that team. I don't know why I'm thinking that, but a lot of good players. Just a lot of good players. Steven Jackson, I believe, was on that team. Steven Jack, my boy. I really liked him. He was a good player. He could have been better, even. So, it's game 6. As we know, Durant's out. That was really sad to see the other night. You know, Durant, I have no shame in saying this, Durant's my favorite player in the NBA. I've never seen anybody be able to score like him. You know, like, he's unstoppable. And he doesn't get in his own way offensively. You know, some guys, some great players of all time, as great as they are physically, they maybe can't shoot that well. So it takes them a little while to become as potent an offensive weapon as Durant is. Durant has been able to put it in the bucket since he got into the league. And I always say this, my brother Dante knows I say this, the name of the game is putting the ball in the hoop. That's what it comes down to. That's why guys that average, you know, like Ben Simmons is a great player. I love him to death, and we'll get into him in a little bit. But you're never going to be the best player in the league if you average 17, 9, and 9. Then those are all-star numbers. And I do think he'll average more than that next year. I do think he'll come up with a shot somewhat. And I think he'll just be more aggressive in general and probably average 20 points a game, 9 boards, 9 assists, something like that. But still, the name of the game is putting it in the hoop. And, you know, the best do it all the time. Michael Jordan, it's no secret. Not only was he the best on-ball defender in the league when he played, but he also averaged 30.1 points per game for his career, you know, and nobody else has ever done that. LeBron James has averaged 27 for his career. So, yeah, although he struggled with his shot early, the last, I would say, 10 years of his career, his shot has been fine. You know, early on, it hampered him a little bit, especially when he didn't have talent around him. Durant, he's never had a problem. Durant has had some issues. I mean, defensively, he wasn't great when he came in the league. Now he is great. You know, I think he's even underrated what he's done for that Warriors team. You know, he plays 1 through 5, and he can. But Durant, you know, as soon as they kind of matured a little bit in Oklahoma City, they were Western Conference finalists every 2 years, you know. And if not, they were getting upset maybe once or twice. You know, the 1 year Durant was out, the 1 year Westbrook was out. So they had a couple of those years where they might have got upset in the second round. But generally, they were in the Western Conference Finals, I think, 4 times. And they got to the finals once. They weren't ready to beat that Heat team. That Heat team with Wade, Bosch, and LeBron was ready to win. They had lost the year before, and they were back ready to win. And, you know, I think Durant was 21 at the time, 22. Westbrook was 21. Harden was 20. You know, they weren't ready to win. They just weren't. They were a great team, and they would have won if they kept them together. Anyway, Durant goes down. That was just a blow. It was amazing that they were able to hold it together and win. But I don't... I mean, I could see the Warriors squeaking it out. But without Durant, the Raptors are just too good defensively. Forget Kawhi for a second. He's proven himself to be one of the best players in the NBA. He might hold the mantle now with Durant now out for what appears to be a year. I mean, I don't think Durant's going to play at all next year, and I don't think he should either. I mean, Kawhi seems to have taken the mantle, in my opinion. You know, early in the playoffs, the first couple rounds, it was, to me, even as great as Kawhi was, Durant was putting on a show. He was averaging 35 a game, and he was just unstoppable. Like, Durant was at the peak of his powers. It's a shame that it comes to an injury just when he's taken the mantle probably this year as best player in the league. You know, he tears his Achilles, and coming back from that's not going to be easy. I do think he'll come back from it better than most. You know, it's not like Kobe was 35 when he did it. 36 maybe. So he was older. And Durant's game is not built on explosive athleticism. Like, Durant's a shooter. You know, he gets to his spot and he pulls up. You know, he can drive the lane, and he does. And I think he'll still be able to do that. Like, his shot will cause guys... maybe to play up on him a little more, and he'll still be able to get around him, I believe. He'll have to adjust, but I think he'll be fine. I think he'll come back averaging 24, 25 a game. You know, I don't think it'll affect him as much. It just is a shame, as a fan of his, that it went from LeBron to Durant for about a year. And because of the injury, he's going to miss out on his opportunity to rule as best player in the league. I think he's been the best player for the last few years. You know, he's been finals MVP. I don't care what anybody says. He changed the Warriors. You could be mad he went there. I can listen to that argument, although I don't agree. You know, he wasn't competing with the Warriors. He was competing with LeBron James. And he saw an opportunity. If the Warriors had beaten that, if they hadn't blown that lead, he wouldn't have went to the Warriors. I can guarantee it. In fact, I think Durant has said this. But if they don't lose to LeBron, he doesn't go there because he's not competing against the Warriors. Even though they beat him and Westbrook, he's competing against LeBron. It's about legacies. So he saw an opportunity to go to this team, put them over the hump, and he would be the reason. And he was the reason. Because when you add Durant to the Warriors, yeah, they won 73 games. Forget the number because they lost the title. I don't care if you won 82 games. You lost the title. It doesn't matter. You're not the best team ever. The 96 Bulls are. Okay? But the point was, he goes to the Warriors. They dominate LeBron. Durant's finals MVP 2 years in a row. Hits a game-winning shot, I believe in game two in both series, right in LeBron's face. To me, Durant's been the best player in the world for the last couple years. You know, his regular season stats have taken a dip because he plays on a juggernaut of a team. Now, I know a lot of people get mad. Well, super team, I don't like it. It's bad for the NBA. Well, the Warriors are simply doing basically as good a job as you can do as a franchise in terms of putting together a team. Like, this is the best run franchise in sports. What we're witnessing is probably, you know, the most dominating run in the history of basketball. I don't know. That's tough to say. You know, I don't really like to count anything pre-1970s or even pre-Magic and Bird. The talent just wasn't there. If you're talking the Celtics run, I don't listen to that. 11 out of 13, they won. There was like 10 teams in the league, maybe 8. So I can't really listen to that argument. Now, I guess you could tell me 80s Lakers or Magic's Lakers, he played in 9 finals. From 80 to 91. Was it 9? He played in 9. He won 5, lost 4. The Bulls, of course, they won 6 out of 8. That's probably the most dominating run ever. And the only reason they didn't win 8 out of 8 is because Jordan retired. So, yeah, that's probably the most dominant. It's hard to top Jordan in anything. It really is. You know, he's my favorite player of all time. And he's the greatest. There is no question. I don't want to hear LeBron. LeBron has really pissed me off. You know, I do consider him probably the second greatest player of all time. You know, he's done a lot of things Jordan has done, just maybe not on as grand a scale. You know, Jordan's accolades. Now, LeBron will end up with more totals. I think he already has more first team all NBAs, but that's a result of playing longer. You know, Jordan only played 13 full seasons, I believe. You know, if you account for the injured or broken ankle year in his second season, you know, he missed 1 2/3 of a season or 1 3/4 of a season from baseball. Retired for 2 years, came back for 2 years with the Wizards. I mean, maybe 13, 14 full seasons. But his what he accomplished is just unreal. And LeBron, he just made me mad. You know, you go to the Lakers, you're basically telling me and the rest of the world, you don't really care about competing. You're kind of there, well, I got a production company, I'm here to make TV. Man, screw your TV. That show sucks, the shop. It's so corny. Talk about liberal-leaning TV. And I'm a Democrat, and I don't even like listening to that crap. So anyway, I got off topic a little bit. Back to the Warriors. Raptors. My prediction is Raptors win tonight. I'm not totally 100% on that. I could totally see the Warriors somehow squeaking it out. But I just don't think they have enough. You know, the problem is the Raptors are built perfectly. With no Durant on the floor, the Raptors are just so much longer and taller than this Warriors team. You know, it was different with the Cavs the last 4 years. But, you know, you got Siakam, Kawhi. Like, those two guys alone, they could stand hand to hand with their arms stretched out and maybe almost covered, I don't know, half the court, if not more. You got Marcus Saul, who's just a huge body in the middle, and he still moves well. He can shoot an outside shot. You know, you got Danny Green, who's a maybe not an elite defender anymore, but still a good defender and a very good outside shooter. Kyle Lowry's just a bulldog. He's not as good as he was maybe 3-4 years ago, but he's still a solid, really solid point guard, all-star caliber. And he's really showing up. There's been some bad games from him, of course, but as a Sixers fan, I'm hoping they do close it out and win, because I'll tell you right now, we gave them the best series. You know, and there's an article on ESPN.com you can read about that and how Danny Green admits it. Like, the Sixers gave us the most problems because they were so big. You know, we didn't know if we could have an answer for that. There really was no XO adjustment to make. It was more about, we just need to play more physical. Otherwise, we're going to lose. And they should have lost to the Sixers. The Sixers, for anybody that watched it with me, Game 4 was the decider. We were up 2-1 in our own building. We have to win that game. That's the game Joel suddenly has a goddamn stomach flu or bug or whatever. It was just ridiculous. And we didn't even lose by that much. It was still a possession. You know, I believe Embiid goes up for a layup, misses it. It wasn't quite a layup. It was like a little running hook. Missed it on the back iron. We were down 1 at the time. Kawhi gets it, top of the key, bangs at 3. They're up 4, 40 seconds left, game's over. So the Sixers played them well. The Sixers have a lot of questions to answer personnel-wise. Yeah, you got Jimmy Buckets, free agent, looking for big deal. Tobias, free agent, looking for big money. I personally think they'll both be back. I'm not really concerned about it. Of course, I'll be concerned until it happens, but I'm not overly concerned like a lot of fans will be. There was some reports that Buckets wanted to go to L.A., and then all of a sudden that seemed to change a little bit. And I think that's a direct result of Elton Brand being the GM. You know, we were so cursed with like a guy like Hinkie and then Colangelo. You know, they both had some good ideas, but they both just lacked in execution. Elton Brand is a very smart guy. I'm so happy they made him GM. That guy is smart. And he's tactical, and he's got a plan. You know, I loved when Ben was seeking advice from Magic, and Magic tried to make it like, well, you know, he's just looking for advice. I had to get permission from the league and the Sixers. And Brand was basically like, no, I'm not giving you permission to talk to him. No, maybe after the season he can go visit you on his own time, but as of now, no, it would have to be supervised in our building, and that, I love that. You know, that's what you're supposed to do. You don't cave just because he's Magic Johnson. You know, you're Elton Brand. You're an NBA veteran, 2-time All-Star, national champion. Duke didn't win that year. But anyway, you know, he was an All-American, best player in the nation at Duke. First overall pick, like a very accomplished player. If he had played on better teams in the NBA, he would have been multiple All-Stars. And in fact, he just came along. There's so many guys in the last, from like 95 to 2010, there were so many guys that came in the league that were just a little too early. The league had the right idea, personnel guys that were drafting. You know, there's so many guys, I think of like Elton Brand, Antoine Jameson. These guys would be perfect stretch fours in today's game. But back then, you know, Elton Brand was 6'8", 6'9", power forward. You know, he wasn't a dirty work guy. He was an offensive player, you know, and he would have been better if he was able to stretch the floor and hit shots and a little less more physical of a game like it is today. Antoine Jameson was the same. He wasn't quite athletic enough to play the three. Certainly not in today's game with guys like LeBron, Durant, Kawhi, Giannis. But he also wasn't, at the time, physical enough to play the four. So, but in today's game, he would be physical enough, and he would stretch the floor. You know, Antoine Jameson played on bad teams and averaged 21-9 on terrible teams. He made a few All-Stars himself, but he would have been much better in today's game. There's tons of guys like that. Tons. So I'm happy we have Ellen Brand. I do think we'll get Jimmy and Tobias back. You know, there's decisions to be made. J.J. Redick, I'm sorry, I'm not giving him big money. I'm not. And if he don't want to come back, then fine, go somewhere else. You know, he lives in Brooklyn, go play for the Nets. Suddenly the Nets seem to be a hot team that everybody's like on. Screw the Nets. They do have some young talent, no doubt about it, but I don't think you're going to the championship next year on the Nets. Even if they were to get Kyrie and if they would have got Durant, you know, I don't know if that, maybe that would have been enough in the East. I think it might have been Kyrie and Durant. That would have been tough to beat. Plus, with the young talent they have, Caris LeVert, D'Angelo Russell, Spencer Dinwiddie, Jared Allen, that, you know, that would have been a good team, actually. I tell you, the young NBA team, and it's not even a finalized roster yet, but it should be. This would be my decision if I was the New Orleans Pelicans. Of course, number one overall pick, I'm taking Zion Williamson. But what I'm doing is I'm hitting up the Lakers. Lakers have the fourth overall pick. And I'm saying, listen, I'm giving you Anthony Davis like you want, all right? But I want Kyle Kuzma. I want Brandon Ingram. And I want your fourth overall pick. And you get Anthony Davis. So, if you're the Pelicans, you're going to look up next year and you're going to see Zion Williamson starting, Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, Drew Holiday, and then your fourth overall pick. It's a pretty good team right there. That fourth overall pick, they could, you know, if I was them, that would be tough. I guess you'd have to go with a five. There's really not a five rated that high. Like, my favorite player in this draft is DeAndre Hunter from Virginia. Him and Culver both from Texas Tech. I really like them both. I think Hunter is Kawhi Leonard-esque, you know. I was big on Kawhi Leonard when he came out of San Diego State. It shocked me that he went 15th overall. But I was huge on him. I love the pick. The Pacers actually picked him and then traded him to San Antonio for George Hill. But that was a great pick. And I think DeAndre Hunter is that kind of player. I think he's being underrated offensively because he went to Virginia and they would only score 68, 70 points a game tops. But he can shoot it because they had to at Virginia. He plays incredible defense because they had to at Virginia. He's super long and athletic. I really think DeAndre Hunter is maybe the best player in the draft long term. You know, I do like Zion. You know, a lot of people know I've said, well, he might be Julius Randle. And I still think he could be a Julius Randle, which is solid. You know, Julius Randle just averaged, I think, 19 and 10 for the year. For the Pelicans, I believe, actually. So, we'll see with Zion. I do like Ja Morant as well. I like RJ Barrett. I like a lot of those guys, man. I like the top of the draft class. Kobe White from North Carolina, I'm a big fan of. You know, he reminds me a little bit maybe of Damian Lillard, a little bit. Dame Dime. So I really like Kobe White. I think whoever gets him will have a good player on their hands. I'm glad he's from North Carolina, top 10 pick, you know. So anyway, Sixers have some rebuilding to do. I think one player for them to draft, again, he's a Tar Heel, but you'll see him in a lot of mocks for the Sixers at what I believe is 24 or 25, the pick. But Cam Johnson from North Carolina, he's older. You know, he's 23. He was a redshirt senior. So he's probably tapped out development-wise, but I think he's ready to contribute right now. And if we're in win mode, you know, with a 30-year-old Jimmy Butler and a 26-year-old Embiid and a 22-year-old, 23-year-old Ben Simmons, whatever he is, like, if it's win now, then you want a guy like Cam Johnson who could step in and hit corner threes and play defense right off the bat. Now, there's other guys I would take, but, you know, that guy, I see his name pop up a lot in the mock, so I'm pretty cool with it. I watch North Carolina closely, obviously. A lot of you know I'm a North Carolina fan. So I would be in favor of that. So, you know, Sixers have a lot of rebuilding to do, but I think they'll be fine. I mean, you just got to get Jimmy back. That's your priority. Toby is a secondary issue, but you kind of need him back as well. I mean, because Toby changes a lot for us. We just got to incorporate him better. I don't think Tobias was super comfortable. You know, and the Sixers really didn't play that much together, that starting four and five. Like, so I think it'll help to be together for a whole offseason training camp and then going into the season. So I'm excited for the Sixers. I know a lot of people were disappointed they lost in the second round, but what are you going to do? That game seven was about as memorable as it gets. You know, you're talking 3-4 hops on the rim. What are you going to do? Kawhi Leonard hit a great shot. Kudos to him, and I hope the Raptors pull it out tonight. Part of me wants to see the Warriors do it because I'm a fan of the Warriors' greatness. But I would like to see the Raptors win. I just don't want to see Drake celebrate. Somebody get that son of a bitch off the screen. If I gotta see him celebrate, I'm gonna throw my TV right out the window. I swear to God. I really hate that dude. I think he's corny. I think his music sucks. If you like it, I'm sorry you like it. You don't have good taste in music. I'm sorry. And you can call me old school. You call me whatever you want. You're just soft. You're corny. That music sucks. That's for females, bro. Stop being a female. That will end our Sixers segment. I might just go right in. Well, we already talked Phils, talked some Sixers. You know, we got the Eagles. You know, I think they just started mandatory minicamp. Malcolm Jenkins showed up. Because you know what? Malcolm Jenkins is a leader. And he's not going to not show up. Because that's who he is. He's a leader. He's not going to let that stuff get in the way and ruin what he sees in front of him as a great team. Think about this team offensively. What they went and got Carson Wentz. First of all, they gave Carson a big deal. And he deserved it. And, you know, all the Nick Foles people out there, you know, you can go to hell for all I care. Because Carson's the man. He's our guy. He's going to be our guy for the next, what is it, it runs till 2024, I believe. So, excuse me, I'm opening my food here. But anyway, Carson deserved the deal. You know, yes, he's got some injury history, but I don't look at it as injury history personally. You know, he tore his ACL on a freak accident. It was a weird hit, weird angle. And then the back, everybody always talk, you know, they mentioned that, but I gotta be honest. We had just lost that game to fall to 6-7. We lost that game. I guess that was Dallas. And, you know, during the week, they're like, well, he's got a back problem. And then I really think they said, you know, our playoff hopes at this time are very, very slim. You know, you hurt your back. Let's get you out. Let's get you healed up so next year we can go in fresh. And they put Nicky Foles in. And Nick did well. I mean, it still took a miracle a couple weeks for us to get in. And a miracle on the last day of the regular season. You know, we had to win. And the Vikings had to lose. And they did. The Vikings fell apart. No shock with Kirk Cousins, though, right? But anyway, I don't think if we had beaten the Cowboys to go to 7-6 and Wentz is hurting, I think he's still our quarterback for the last 3 weeks. I really do. So I don't look at the back injury as like a huge problem. But I was happy they gave him the deal. And I'm happy they gave him to Deshaun Jackson. I'm happy Alshon's back, healthy, ready to go. I'm happy we have a top two or three tight end. And then his backup is probably the best backup in the NFL and would start on basically any other team. Because tight end suddenly is not a deep position anymore. There was a while, a little period of time there might have been like 10 Pro Bowl caliber tight ends. And now all of a sudden there's just not. So that's interesting. So Ertz, Goddard. Then we went out, draft know, we draft a tackle. I can't think of his name off the top of my head. Oh, my God. The hell is his name? Anyway, it doesn't matter. He looks good, though. You know, he went to Washington State, where they run the air raid offense, so he can pass protect. That's for damn sure. You know, I like his size. I really like his athleticism. I think it'll help to sit behind Peters. And he's going to get reps. You know, Peters only played 75% of the plays last year. So that means he's going to get, you know, he's going to get solid reps. And I think he's going to be ready when his time is called the year after to be the starter. I really like him. You know, I love the pick of Miles Sanders, the running back. You know, I don't know if he's going to be a super explosive player. You know, I don't really see it. But I think he can be really good. I think he can be a great... I don't want to hype him up too much, but he does remind me of Westbrook a little bit. You know, Westbrook wasn't super fast. He just had a good burst. And he could catch. You know, he could return. And I think Miles Sanders has a lot of those same qualities. Now, the wide receiving pick, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. I don't know. I'm up in the air on that. He's built very similarly to Alshon Jeffrey. In fact, they were taken in similar spots in the draft. Similar sizes, similar speeds, similar numbers in college even. So, I could see what they're doing. They're basically replacing Alshon. Just, you know, he's going to sit behind him this year. And the year after that, he's going to replace him. You know, as that X receiver that you throw the ball up to. And hopefully he becomes a good player. I'm just a little uncertain. I just don't know enough about Arcega-Whiteside. You know, Stanford has produced wide receivers in the past. You know, Doug Baldwin was one. Maybe that's about it. I don't know. Actually, Richard Sherman was a wide receiver at Stanford for a little while, too. He was so good at wide receiver, they moved him to D-back. Anyway, the Eagles look really good to me. And then they signed Zach Brown, the linebacker. Man, I really like that pickup. I like Zach Brown a lot. He's a Pro Bowl caliber player, been to the Pro Bowl. He knows Jim Schwartz's defense. He played under Schwartz. When did he play under Schwartz? Was he the DC in Tennessee at one point? Or maybe in Buffalo. I don't know. Zach Brown played under him 1 year. I know he did. But anyway, Brown is really good. We needed a linebacker. You know, I wasn't comfortable with Camus, Grugier Hill, and Nate Jerry next to Nigel Bradham, whatever. I wasn't comfortable with those two. So to get Brown is a big boost. You know, Chris Long retires. Not really a huge deal. I love the way our secondary is shaping up. You know, you got a lot of depth now all of a sudden. A lot of young guys stepped up last year. They'll be ready to go this year. So, the Eagles look incredible. I really think this offense could be a 30-35 point a game kind of offense. I mean, I'm serious. And I think it's good. Malcolm came to camp. He didn't want to create a distraction. He does deserve more money. Now, he's got a couple years left on that deal. But Malcolm's now been to two Pro Bowls in the last 2 years. You know, he's been to three total. So, Malcolm's proven himself to be one of the best safeties in the league. And the best safeties in the league are making 14, 15, 16 million bucks. You know, Tyrann Mathieu just got 14, 15 million a year. He's nowhere near as good as Malcolm Jenkins. Malcolm Jenkins is making like $9 million bucks. I mean, it's great for the Birds. You know, we're underpaying a guy that's playing like a $14, $15 million guy. So, but Jenkins, you know, he held out of, non-mandatory OTAs. But when it was mandatory, he didn't create a distraction because he knows this team has potential. So you got to respect a guy like that. I have nothing but respect for Malcolm Jenkins for what he's done on the field as a leader and off the field in the community. The guy is the ultimate He's the ultimate man's man. He's exactly what I would want to be as a man. You know, he's my age, so I better step up. But, you know, that's the guy you want your kids looking up to. I love him. You know, he just like Brian Dawkins was a safety for the Eagles. He was incredible on the field. He was even better off the field. And that's who Malcolm Jenkins is. That's why I'm glad he's our leader. Him and Carson, both. These guys are incredible off the field. That's why we're going to be successful as a franchise moving forward. Because these guys are really good people. So I'm excited for the Eagles. I'm excited for the Sixers. Excited for the Phillies. It's an exciting, exciting time in Philadelphia. I know there's questions to be answered. You know, we want championships, of course. You know, our last one was the Super Bowl, and now we're getting antsy. We want more. You know, don't expect it with the Phillies. I can tell you that right now. Oh, but Phillies, one more other thing, just real quick. Got a couple prospects that look real good. Alec Bohm, the pick from last year. First round pick, I believe, fifth overall. He is looking really good. So keep an eye on him. I don't think he'll come up this year, but next year I think he will. And then Hazley's up, but he just got hurt too. So, you know, again, I'm excited. Phillies look good. Anyway, that will conclude episode 10 of the Rooney Rundown. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I'm glad to be back. I hope you guys listen. Make sure you click listen on it. You know, leave some comments. Tell me what you think. If you want to talk some shit, talk some shit. That's all right. I can take the heat. Again, this episode is dedicated to Ernie DiBiase. He's been looking for the Rooney Rundown. So, there you go. Episode 10. Hope you guys enjoy. See ya.